Hello, everyone. Welcome to Make a Difference Radio. This is Derek Van Dam. Make a Difference Radio is here every week to spotlight different nonprofit organizations and the people and businesses that help support them. We are here to give them a spotlight to be able to tell more about their organization and how they help the communities that they work with. And today we are very fortunate to have three special guests with us. We have Shaton Dennis, who is currently with Grant Source. We have Jan Johnson with All Grown Up and Debbie Brilling with the Auditory Verbal Center. Today's show is brought to you by Swipe for Change. Swipe for Change helps raise consistent and recurring donation streams for nonprofit organizations by leveraging merchant accounts. And for more information, please visit www.swipeforchange.com. I'm going to start today's show with Shaton Dennis from Grant Source. To give you some background, she is the founder of the company. Grant Source was founded in 2007 to provide consulting services to small to medium-sized nonprofits. She has served in the nonprofit program and administration for 19 years, and during those 19 years has helped to raise over $4 million for nonprofit organizations. To give you some more background, she had her bachelor's degree in sociology from Wright State University, then went on to an MBA in Baker College and a master in urban planning, design, and development, urban nonprofit development with Cleveland State University. Shaton, welcome today.
Thank you.
Shaton, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Grant Source? I know that you help out the nonprofit organizations quite a bit, and I was hoping you could give us a little bit of a background about what you do and how you help them.
All righty. Well, as you stated previously, I started the company in 2007, and I had worked for quite a few nonprofits over the course of 19 years and decided that I think I wanted to step out on my own and create my own, blaze my own trail, so to speak. And so my original vision was to work with grassroots nonprofits, the ones that didn't traditionally access foundation funding. And so I said, okay, I'm going to create a product that is affordable for them and one that will help them on the front lines to be able to access the funding that they need to do the good work that they do. Well, quickly found out after about a year in business that the grassroots organizations, number one, didn't have a lot of money to pay for the service, and number two, they didn't have the capacity needed to be able to compete with the Auditory Verbal Centers, the United Ways, the Salvation Armies, and the All Grown Ups of the world. So I expanded my business model a bit to create a Business Planning Made Easy program. And what that does is I wrote a workbook and created video supplements to go with the workbook. So it helps individuals who are thinking about starting a nonprofit as well as their board members to create a profit-generating organization. So it's a social enterprise, in a sense. It is using for-profit business principles to fulfill a social mission. And so that's my mantra. I teach grassroots organizations and their volunteers how to do what they love, earn a living their passion, basically.
That's great. That's great. And so you go in, you give them some basic understanding of what they need to do to be able to begin their fundraising efforts through writing grants.
Yes.
And then you walk them through and coach them through the whole process so that they know how to do that themselves.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely. And so that's just one component or one prong of my work. The second prong is I do teach grant writing classes. I've taught classes at the Georgia Center for Nonprofits, the Foundation Center, as well as Emory University. I have a library tour that is taking place. It started about 3 or 4 months ago. I've partnered with DeKalb County, and I will be continuing the library tour in 2012, teaching grant writing as well as fundraising basics. And the third prong of what I do is the grant writing, which Debbie and Jan, we will discuss today. But over the course of the 4 years that I've been in business, I've helped my clients raise over $1.4 million in foundation and local government grants.
And that's just since 2007, correct?
Yes.
Wow, that's an exceptional number.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me a little bit about some of the community programs that you do.
Well, again, I do the library tour. So it's basic education. You know, I have a lot of people who call me up and their first question is, how can I get a grant? Can you get me a grant? And the answer is not yes, I'll get you a grant. It's not that simple. So I find that education is really key. People are just, they just misunderstand the whole grant topic because of the misleading ads on the television and the radio, you know, where they just think that they can get a grant to renovate their home or to repair their credit. It's so not the case.
Right.
You know, it's so not the case. So I find that education is key.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Who is an ideal client for you?
An ideal client is a nonprofit organization. They have a 501c3. They've been around for, I would say, at least 4 to 5 years. They have a strong track record. They measure their success in a tangible way, and they can communicate the benefits and the impact of their work. They have a little money in the bank. They may not have a lot of money in the bank, but they have, they've been filing their taxes, and they can show that they generate revenue on a consistent basis.
Okay, so someone that's brand new starting out the gates, probably not the perfect client for you. You're looking for someone that's a little bit more, I guess, in a sophomore setting for their organization.
Yeah, sophomore to senior. And if they're in the beginning stages, I can help them become grant ready. That's the Business Planning Made Easy program.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The first prong. What kind of measurable outcomes are you looking for with these different organizations? Like when the tools that they have in place to currently measure what's happening, how are you using that to figure what the benefit that you bring to them? You know, in other words, they start at a certain point, you come in, and what is a measurable goal that you are looking for each one of them that you work with? How much are you trying to raise for them? Obviously, the coaching that happens is a little bit more behind the scenes. That's less of a tangible.
Right.
But in terms of the fundraising efforts, if you take an average 4 to 5 year old organization, what kind of measurable outcome would they have from you, let's say, in the first year?
It really just depends. Like with All Grown Up Inc., they've been around for 10 years. They're an all-volunteer organization, and we've been working together, I'd say, for probably a couple of years. And we were just working up the numbers, and I think we're at $17,500.
Nice.
For them, you know, that's exceptional because they file a postcard, which means that they generally don't generate more than $25,000 in a given year. So for us to be able to raise nearly $20,000 over 2 years, that's just phenomenal.
Right.
Where for Debbie, her organization is nearly $1 million in revenues. And so we generally raise about $100,000 in foundation grants for her.
I see. So it depends on the size of the organization.
It does.
But percentage-wise, that sounds pretty strong. You're you're anywhere helping them from 1/10 to almost 100% of an increase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into their budget with what they're used to. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What kind of success rate have you had with the different organizations you work with? Is it pretty successful pretty much across the board?
It is across the board. I'm very particular about who I bring on as a client because I market the service based on the track record. And so if I don't think an organization is grant ready, I'm not going to accept them as a client because then they bring my return on investment down. So for every dollar that my clients spend with me, on average, they're getting $15 back.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great return on investment.
Definitely. Okay. It makes sense. It's a no-brainer.
So what kind of competitive advantage do you bring to the clients that you work with?
I would say customer service. I love all of my clients. All of my clients love me.
We definitely do.
Thank you, Jan. I would say track record. I've worked for at least a couple of dozen nonprofits, so I have a pretty good sense of what works and what doesn't work. I've been on the other side of the coin as well, reviewing grant proposals and awarding money. I'm familiar with the market, the philanthropic market locally, and so I know how to pick them.
That's great.
I know how to pick the matches.
Excellent. Chetan, if somebody wanted to work with you, a nonprofit organization, how would they find you? What's the best way for them to contact you to be able to utilize your services?
They can call me first and foremost at 770-286-3128. And my website is an excellent resource for information, general knowledge. I have a client list on my website. You can fill out my contact form, and you can also schedule a grant readiness assessment consultation at www.grantsource1.com.
That's excellent. Okay. So everybody, call Chetan if you need some help with a variety of different things, not the least of which being the grant writing, which of course is a great source of income. But if you need some coaching, you've got an excellent resource here with Chetan with Grant Source.
Thank you very much.
Great. Now, Chetan has brought some guests with her today, the first of which is Jan Johnson. Jan Johnson is with All Grown Up, Inc. Jan is Director of Global Operations, and she is originally from Chicago, Illinois. She attended the Hampton University in Hampton, Virginia, and received a Bachelor of Arts degree in Political Science. Jan attended Georgia State University and received a certificate in Conflict Resolution and Negotiation. She was a contract negotiator for the National Football Players Association for several years. I'm interested in learning some more about that, especially given what happened after last season. Jan is currently employed as a project manager with a Fortune 500 company. Her affiliations include being a member of the Hampton University Alumni Association and the Junior League of DeKalb County. Her hobbies include volunteering and stamp collecting. Jan is always encouraged by the quote, "If you want to lift yourself up, lift someone else up," by Booker T. Washington. Hello, Jan. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing today?
Great. We're doing great. Jan, tell us a little bit about All Grown Up.
All Grown Up is a nonprofit that is a character education and developmental mentoring program. We started in 1999 with a vision from Shari Ponder and TNG Williams Gant. We started because they were actually counselors in the local school systems in Clayton County, and what they found is that the young ladies had outlets as far as sports, but not as far as character education and mentoring. They would get a lot of referrals for suicide, as well as for domestic violence amongst dating environments, and also with not knowing necessarily how to apply to colleges and things of that nature. So what they would do is that they would have young ladies come and they would kind of talk to them, and they would always say, "We need a group. Could you form a group?" So we started with All Grown Up thinking we were going to impact all of Clayton County and probably have 500 girls. At the very first meeting, there were only 30. But those 30 that we started to impact grew, and now we've serviced over 1,500 girls within the last 10 years.
Wow. That's an exceptional number. So tell me, so I understand some of the things that they were looking for initially. How have you expanded the program based off the initial offerings? Are there some additional services that you now provide to help the ladies that you're working with?
Yes, one of our initiatives within the last 3 years has been financial literacy. We have partnered with Edward Jones to help the young ladies open 529 accounts to be able to start to look toward college and to put funds up. So what we've done is we have organized fundraisers where the young ladies can actually fundraise monies to put into their 529s and their parents. And their extended families have been helping out in that effort.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, I'm familiar with the 529 plan, having a little guy myself, so
yes.
I know about those. That's wonderful. So most of the time, when do you meet with the women that you're working with, the girls that you're working with? What time? Do you meet with them after school?
School is usually the time that we meet with them. We have two programs running right now for middle school young ladies. That is a weekly program. That's an after-school program. They meet once a week, and they have theme months. So this month is the cooking month, or health and nutrition. And so this month they're learning how to do cooking projects that they can do after school if their parents aren't home, or things that they can do while their parents are home, cooking projects there. We also have them working with health and fitness instructors. We have an awesome Zumba person who comes in and does Zumba classes for them. Our high school girls meet once a month, and they actually do the fundraising portion of the 529, as well as they have to do community service to be in that program. So monthly we have beautification projects throughout Clayton County, and we actually just finished doing the kidney walk 2 weeks ago downtown at Turner Field.
Oh, that's wonderful. How did that go?
That went well. We had about 25 participants to come out, and we walked. It seemed like it was a little bit more than 3 miles, but they made it fun, and the girls had an awesome time.
Great. How much did you raise?
For that one, I think we raised almost $500.
That's excellent.
Yeah, the girls had an awesome time. They were so excited to do it, and it was fun because it was at Turner Field, and we got to walk around the baseball field, and the people were just awesome and very good.
That's a great venue.
Yeah.
That's great. What upcoming events do you have?
We have the next event that we have is a girls' night out for the young ladies for the holidays. And they're very excited because they're going to do a bowl-a-thon. And so they're really trying to get up their skills for bowling. Some of them have never bowled before, which is a thing that we like. We like to expose the girls to things that they've never been involved with. So some of the girls, like I said, had never been bowling, so they're looking forward to that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Maybe you can eventually end up starting a little league for the young ladies.
That's a great idea.
That would be great.
That is a great idea.
A regular event with them. Can you share with us some success stories, some situations that you've had of people that were some young ladies that were not particularly in the best situation, and you were able to come in and help mentor them and have a very positive impact on their life? Can you think of a particular story or two that you've had from that?
Sure. One of our young ladies started with us when she was about 16 years old, and she had a sudden death in her family when she first came into the program. Her father passed away. we were able to support her during that, as well as to try to make sure that we talk with her teachers, because Tangie actually is a counselor and was at her school. So was able to kind of work with her and work with her teachers. And it's just been wonderful to see her grow, finish college, finish a master's, and now she actually leads one of our programs at one of the middle schools. She's 25 years old, and she's a project manager, and she's come back to All Grown Up to work with us and volunteer. So we have about 10 or 12 of those young ladies who started with us back in 1999 that come back and they volunteer and give their time to the middle school and the high school girls.
Oh, that's wonderful when you see it go first full circle like
it
that.
It does, because sometimes they're like, oh, Miss Jan, I've known you 11 years, and I'm thinking, well, you're getting old. And they're that's right, Miss Jan, you're not getting old, we're getting old.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. It's nice to see people come up that way through the organization that you've helped and then in turn can pass around and help somebody else. It's wonderful whenever that happens. It's a beautiful circle of karma when it does. So tell us a little bit more about anything else that about your organization.
One thing that we've done is to expose the young ladies to college. A lot of times you'll hear people say, oh, you need to go to college. It's one of those things. And some of the girls have never been. So in the last 3 years, we've implemented a college tour. And what we do is we go to one historically black college or university, and then we go to another college that may be a Big Ten. Last year, we went to Vanderbilt and Tennessee State. And this year, we're going to be going to Auburn and to Tuskegee University. And last year, we took 75 girls on two busloads up to Tennessee. And that was phenomenal. Every bus. I was like, okay, we're going to rock off the expressway, because the girls were singing and we were singing camp songs. Parents came. We probably had about 15 parents that came. And so it was a really, really a treat. And so this year we're going to be going to the Alabama schools. And in the next 2 years, we want to do an international trip. Our executive director would like to take the girls over to Italy to do a trip over there as well.
Wow, international.
Yes. Our executive director thinks in 2015, she's already in 2015 planning. Sometimes I have to call her back to 2012 and say, okay, let's finish out the year, and then we'll move on to 2012.
Right.
She's a strategic thinker.
Right. When they go to these schools, what kind of thing, are there any events that are planned? I mean, obviously, they're taking a walkthrough of the school, and I'm sure the admissions ambassadors of the school help with that, but are there any formal structured things that take place while they're there?
There are. On Fridays, we usually try to go on Friday so the girls can actually see students in class and see students walking the yard and looking at the campus and things of that nature. So we actually have a guided tour. But one of the things that we want to make sure that the girls understand is the educational value of college. And a lot of times we'll have them talk to the director of admissions. We'll have them talk to the dean of students, as well as some of the honor students, to talk about what their transition has been from high school to college and how it was very different from each person. And so we try to make sure that that's impressed upon them as they go to those college tours.
Oh, that's great. And you help all of those young ladies in process of going on to college. You help them with college preparation and stuff on your own, I'm assuming.
Definitely. We have college applications that we help them with. Sometimes young ladies can't afford it, so we find out if there are waivers from that particular college where they won't have to pay the application fee, as well as help them with their Pell Grant information. And because our executive director is a high school guidance counselor, she has other resources as well. So we'll help them apply for applications or scholarships, as well as trying to make sure that they have a direct path when they go in. Because I'm a project manager, I'm always planning. And so I always say, okay, well, what's going to be your major when you get in? What are your first 2 years going to be like? What are your last 2 years going to be like? So that's one of the things that has helped some of the young ladies as they've gone on to college.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. How can people help your organization?
One of the main things I think that they can do is not just donate money, but donate time as well. When we have our major events, sometimes it's difficult to find volunteers. Shatan has been great in making sure that as we're going through the process, we make sure that we document. And I wanted to say that one thing Grant Source has done for us, because we've been in business for 10 years, it's helped us to refocus on what we need and what's important to us. And so working with Shatan has given us that educational value that she talked about earlier, but also made us look at how we can, you know, re-galvanize our volunteer base. And that's something that is really needed within our program, is volunteers, as well, of course, we need dollars, but definitely to make sure that we have those volunteers.
That's great. Are you looking for people with any particular type of experience?
We're looking for people that have been in the educational field that can definitely come in and maybe work some of our workshops, because when we're looking at the different schools, we have 5 to 6 schools in Clayton County that want us to come and do a program, but finding qualified people to be able to run those programs sometimes can be a challenge. So if they have an educational background or have worked in different volunteer organizations such as Cool Girls or Girl Scouts, they would be phenomenal in working with us.
Yeah, that's one. Okay, good. That gives a good point for people that are looking to volunteer.
Definitely.
Well, if somebody did want to either volunteer their time or be able to help your organization financially, what would be the best way for them to do so? How do they get a hold of you?
They can go to our website, which is aguinc.org, and there's a donate page and a contact us page where they can fill out the information there, and we'll definitely have our volunteer coordinator, Natalie Britt, get back to them and make sure that they are scheduled and they can work our events.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jan. I appreciate your time today. We're going to bring it back around to you a little bit later when we talk about how Chaton has helped you out. But let me introduce our third guest for today. Her name is Debbie Brilling. She is with the Auditory Verbal Center. She is the Chief Executive Officer. She's been with them for 9 years now. The Auditory Verbal Center holds a very special place in her heart. Two of her children were born profoundly deaf and graduated from the center. After the point in which they graduated, she started volunteering her time and served on the board of directors for a few years. And then at that point, she was asked to come on as the development manager and very quickly rose up to become the executive director of the organization. ABC has facilities in Atlanta and Macon. To give you a little bit more background on Debbie, she was a graduate of Berry College with a BA in Business Administration, is a past president for the North Lake Tucker Club, is currently Lieutenant Governor for Division 14 of the Kiwanis Club. And Debbie, thanks so much for being on with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Debbie, why don't we start off with the basic question? Tell us a little bit more about the Auditory Verbal Center.
Well, the Auditory Verbal Center is a nonprofit that with a mission of bringing people who are deaf and hard of hearing into a lifetime of listening and speaking. So we have two departments. We have an audiology department, so we service anybody from birth to seniors with diagnostic testing, dispensing of hearing aids, your new universal newborn screening, ABRs, anything that has to do with your hearing loss. And then on the other side is the auditory verbal program. We're a center, not a school, and we teach mild to profoundly deaf children to hear and speak without the use of sign language or lip reading. So we literally take the visual away, teach them to learn to listen, to hear, and put meaning to that sound the same way you and I learn to hear, to detect sound, discriminate it, identify it, comprehend it. Our youngest client can be 2 months old. They're going to be there from 2 to 5 years. When they graduate, they are age-appropriate, expressively and receptively to their hearing peers, needing no additional help other than their own hearing equipment, mainstreamed in a regular classroom, not special ed, not contained classrooms, mainstreamed in a regular classroom by the time they're in kindergarten. When they graduate from us, they're totally independent communicators. They can talk on the phone. You can stand behind them and talk to them because they've learned to listen and understand spoken language.
Can you define for me the term profoundly deaf?
Great question. You've got different levels of hearing loss, starting with mild, moderate, severe, and profound. Profound starts around 85 decibels. Now, a small jet engine is only 85 decibels. So that means that if they stood next to a jet engine, they would not be able to hear it without their hearing equipment on.
I see. So when you are attempting to work with somebody that is profoundly deaf, as was the case in your own children, how can you teach someone to be able to understand somebody talking from behind them if they can't hear the jet engine behind them? Is it through the use of the equipment as well?
Right. They have either high powerful hearing aids, or in the case of a profound child, they get the cochlear implant. Now they've got access to sound. So what we do is teach them how to interpret the sound that they're hearing by putting meaning to that sound. You start with basic learning to listen sounds, for an airplane, ba 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 for a bus, and then work your way up. You detect that sound, discriminate it, identify it, comprehend it, and develop spoken language the same way you and I did.
Oh, wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the center? How long has it been around?
It was founded in 1977, so we've been here 34 years. By two women, Ellen Rhodes and Beth Mahaffey. Beth Mahaffey still serves on our board and is very active in our organization. We started in a church over at Oglethorpe. Now we've got our home office here in Atlanta, a satellite in Macon, and this year we just launched a new program, which I'm super excited about. Using technology, we are now offering teletherapy the same type of therapy you would get in our center, but for those families that can't make that drive to Atlanta or Macon, can now through WebEx or, you know, Skype, that kind of thing, have live therapy sessions.
So this now opens up the entire United States to your ability to help them?
Yes, it does, but we're staying strictly in Georgia.
I see.
Because of insurance billing. And like I said, we're not a school, we're a center. We do file for insurance. We accept Medicaid, and we offer scholarships for those families that can't afford to come. But now we are able to reach out to everybody in Georgia.
How long would an average treatment be for somebody that comes in? How often do they come in? How long is each session that they work with you?
The sessions are about an hour. A family would come 1 hour a week, do therapy with the therapist. The therapist will give you a therapy plan. It's a family education program. So we're educating the parent or caregiver, whoever is taking care of the child, to be the primary role model for this child. We teach them what to do, mimic what we'd like them to do in the language model that we want them to follow. They take that therapy plan, go home, and continue to do it every day. And then just bathe the child in sound all day long. Don't mouth really big. Don't yell at this child. Raise them like you would raise any other hearing child in a natural environment at home. So then they would come back the following week, and again, they're coming once a week, and they'll be there anywhere from 2 to 5 years, depending on the degree of the loss, depending on if there's multiple disabilities. Many of the kids, 70% of our kids have other disabilities. We only work on the hearing impaired portion. Depends on when they get diagnosed. Here in Georgia, every child is tested for a hearing loss before they leave the hospital. So we're catching these kids at birth, which is great. If you get them early enough, you don't have such a big gap to close, and they're going to be out of there within 2 to 3 years. If they pass that screening but didn't get diagnosed and then began getting a hearing loss and didn't get diagnosed till 1 year or 2 year, it's a little bit longer because you've got a bigger gap to close. Hearing loss is no longer about our seniors getting old, although y'all know what I'm talking about when I say, Grandma can't hear me.
Sure.
But and statistics show that it takes 7 years to get a senior into a doctor to find out, sure enough, they have a hearing loss. But insurance doesn't pay for hearing aids. So the money that we're raising for both the auditory verbal program and for audiology helps us put hearing aids on at a discount, sliding scale, whatever it takes to get somebody fitted with hearing aids and back in our community. Grant Source helps me out a lot with grant writing to be able to help offer this kind of program to these people. There are more deaf adults between 40 and 50 than there are of our seniors because of we're the generation that listen to boomboxes and concerts. Now these great things called iPods, those little bitty headphone sets, we're seeing record number of young adults coming in with the beginning stages of hearing loss because those little micro headphone sets are pumping too much volume into your ear. Lots of antibiotics that cure our ailments, but the end result is complete deafness.
Wow.
And in 2007, CDC announced that hearing loss was the number one birth defect in the United States.
Really?
You would not believe how it's more common than you realize, but it's like a silent disability because you don't see it. You don't realize it's there. Unless you're profound, the mild to profound, moderate, severe children can fall through the crack.
I see. Well, being that I was part of the boombox generation myself, does it start? I've always heard of a tinnitus, I guess, is how it starts with the ringing of the ears. And how does that, it progresses to the point where I only have a slight ringing in my ears, but I'm assuming that it can get considerably worse to the point where a person would need some help in coaching?
Yes, and usually tinnitus means you've got some hearing loss already. And it will get progressively worse, and there's different things you can do about it. Protect your ears. Don't let any more further damage. People don't realize simple things like mowing your lawn. You should be wearing earplugs. Driving down 400 with your window down. You shouldn't be doing that.
Really?
Because the wind noise from the traffic and all that is louder than your ear should be exposed to. For
what is the acceptable decibel number or below that a person should
anything
keep
of 85 decibels or louder for more than 20 minutes can stress the hair cells out and begin the stages of hearing loss.
Really? So that's just under the jet engine.
Right. Riding a motorcycle, you should have earplugs on.
Really?
You know,
I wonder what percentage of people do that. I can't imagine.
Probably not very many.
Probably, you're right.
Right. You know, and unfortunately, we take our hearing for granted, and we don't realize how much hearing, how our hearing is being damaged with our environmental sounds.
Interesting. Do you have any events upcoming?
Right now, this year, the chairman of our board, Mike Sarsfield, came up with a great idea to start a junior board. And our junior board, the idea is I'm too old to really wrap my head around technology, and that's their life. So we started a junior board, nothing but college kids, to advocate and fundraise through social media. So the junior board's got some fundraisers going on right now. They created a calendar of our clients, which is really kind of cool. They also are selling vouchers to the Gwinnett Gladiators. So you can buy a voucher and go to any game you want. Unlike most fundraising events, it's like this night, this event.
Right.
This is buy a voucher for any game during the season, home game. And you just turn in that voucher for the ticket. So our junior board's doing that. And then we have our Christmas party this weekend for our clients. We'll be graduating 15 clients this year, which is really exciting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
How many new clients do you normally get in a given year?
It varies. We've doubled our enrollment. We now see about 81 kids on a week. This is in the auditory verbal program, not the audiology side.
Right.
And it comes and go all year long, but we'll average about 23 to 25 new clients every year.
Oh, great. Must be great when you get to graduate them. That's probably a wonderful feeling.
It's exciting because these kids were destined to a world of silence. Basically, if you go a different approach, for example, sign language being the only mode of communication, many people feel like don't know that there's options. On a national average, children raised in what we call deaf ed, where sign language is the only mode of communication, will graduate from 12th grade with a 6th grade education level and a 3rd grade reading level. Because when you sign, you don't sign every word in a sentence. So, for example, if I said, what time is it? In sign language, it would be time what? And, you know, and the words are backwards and a lot of words missing from that sentence. If that's your only mode of communication, you can't learn to read a book, hence the 3rd grade reading level. We're at the Auditory Verbal Center. We don't allow the visual cues. We're actually teaching you to learn and understand spoken language. So when you're graduating, by the time you're in kindergarten, you're age appropriate and you're going to learn like any other child and you're going to be able to read by the time you're in 3rd grade, graduate from college. For example, my two kids, my daughter is a senior now at North Georgia College, doing great, studying graphic designs and marketing as the graphic designer for the print services shop. My son graduated from Riverside Military Academy in Gainesville a year and a half ago, something a profoundly deaf child raised in a different approach would not be able to do.
Ah, that's wonderful. Sounds like you have a number of success stories.
We have a lot. Kelly Duncan, who is awesome, she's a fireman in Clayton County Station Number 4. Profoundly deaf child, wears a cochlear implant. I can't call her a child anymore. She's in her 30s, but she is one of our firemen. Nothing these kids can't do because they are independent communicators.
That's great. Do you have situations where people do come up through the program and help you later on? Is that something that you find where they can maybe relate a little bit better to the people that they work with?
Sometimes. You know, like our junior board, we've got 3 of our graduates on the junior board.
Oh, great.
They tend to leave us by the time they're in kindergarten and go on with their life. And we have a few that come back and help us out. If you ever want to hear what they sound like, if you go to our website, there's a 1-minute video on the right-hand side. The video is about 10 years old, so my kids are very young, but you can hear the quality of voice and really see the impact that we're making on these kids. It's a life-changing impact.
I'm sure it is. You're right. They were destined for a world of silence. And
they were, and there's no speech impairment. They sound like you and me. Beautiful voice quality. And again, because they're mimicking, we close the auditory loop. They're mimicking what they hear and not repeating what they see, which is what lip reading is.
I see. So how can people out there help the Auditory Verbal Center?
Participate in our fundraisers. Go to my website. You can donate. And we have a donate button on the website, or you can purchase tickets to our fundraising events. That's also on the website. But advocate for us. Let people know there are options for children with a hearing loss. Most people don't know, and when a child is born and fails that test at birth, get in there and do a follow-up testing, confirm that loss, and get fitted with hearing aids and get into a program.
Oh, okay. So if somebody does want to help you, what would be the best way for them to contact you?
Either through the website, or they can call me personally at 404-633-8911. And our website is www.avchears.org.
That's great. Debbie, thank you so much for telling us about the Auditory Verbal Center.
Thank you.
All right. So now to bring this all back around, Chetan, why don't you tell me how you met these women? How exactly did you come across the company of both Jan and Debbie?
I remember very vividly how I met Deb. I was working with United Way on their annual campaign, and Deb and I were speaking. I invited her to speak at one of the accounts that I was managing. It was a corporation out in Johns Creek. And Deb and I hit it off, and we were talking, and I, you know, shared with her my background in nonprofit. She was looking for someone to help her with fundraising, and that was 7 years ago, I believe.
Yep.
And we've been working together ever since. And Jan, All Grown Up Inc., I can't remember. Jan, how did we meet?
Tangie actually found you, and we met you at North Lake Starbucks, if I'm not mistaken.
Panera Bread.
And the thing that I loved about Chetan when we met her is she came in and she basically had a needs assessment. She gave us the information first, and then we came in and did a needs assessment. And that's right up my alley, because being a project manager, you do a lot of discovery. So she kind of really looked at where our needs were and coached us in where we needed to be. And so I thought initially when we first met, I was like, this is going to be a great relationship.
That's great. Yeah, because it never is it one size fits all.
No, it isn't. And I think she saw where we were, that we were passionate about our vision, and she gave us that direction that we needed to move forward.
Similar experience for you, Debbie, of working with them? Came in, kind of did a needs assessment for you? And
A little bit different. Yeah, she did help with the needs assessment. A little bit different. We talked in what I needed. I needed somebody to help me write grants, do the research. For me, Chetan is an angel. She takes so much off my plate so that I can do what I'm good at. I don't have to worry about the grant writing portion. She does the research, writes the grant for me. The thing that impressed me the most about her in the very beginning was she took the time to find out who we are and what we do. She didn't just write something and then send it to me to rewrite and redo. She really took the time to understand our center, understand our services, watch the services, really wrap her head around it so that she's able to advocate for us. That totally impressed me, and it just built from there. Now she does consulting for me with my junior board. She's going to come out and give them a training on fundraising ideas. But like I said, I couldn't do my job without her.
That's great. So is it safe to assume that you would both recommend Chetan to other
absolutely.
Nonprofits out there?
Without question.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ladies.
So you've seen a great return on investment from working with her. And of course, obviously, I mean, her personality, I think, speaks volumes. Just meeting her, you get that feeling. So, well, I want to thank all three of you for being on the show today. We really appreciate getting the different perspectives of both the two different nonprofit organizations, and also your ability, Chetan, to be able to help them and how you can help other ones, because that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to do everything we can to not only give the different nonprofits a platform, but be able to help them in their advancement the best they can. And it sounds like you're doing a wonderful job in that regard.
Thank you for inviting us.
So no problem. Thank you. Appreciate you coming on. And that's it. This is Derek Van Dam signing off for Make a Difference Radio.